This is CliffCentral.com.
All she needed was some.
Good day to all our listeners out there, yo. You are hanging with the words, guys.
The one and only.
It's Malcolm G and Riabatu Sesele. Here we go.
Hey, we're lost when we screw screw. Yo.
Dude, I'm a fan of screw screw at some point. I've come to the conclusion.
Everybody is. You can't tell me EXO tour life doesn't give you life. You can't tell me butterfly effect does not give you life.
Here's the thing. We always upgrade or change our slack.
You know?
That's a constant from dope, rad to swag, fleek, lit. From in terms of ad libs, they've been crazy ad libs.
Bling.
my screw screw is becoming one of my favorites out of all the ad libs that we've experienced in the hip hop game. I'm trying to think of a few others. They're not coming to my head right now. That was also a dope one. But yeah, we're not school school boys, but we're doing it for the culture. We're doing it for the culture. All right. Anyway, man, you're chilling with the worst, guys. You know, it's always dope hanging out with us. We got so much to talk about. Today, we're talking about land. This is one of the hottest topics in the country at the moment. Everybody wants to know when we're getting the land back, who has the land, why they have the land, and how we can get it as the people. There's so much to talk about on this topic. But, you know, I want to move away to the racial aspect of land distribution and the fact that there is unequal land distribution in our country and in our world in general, and just get onto the idea of
the importance of it.
Yeah, the importance of it and us sharing the space that is planet Earth.
Hey, that key word being sharing.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people comprehend what that means. Like,
cause land, owning property essentially means, okay, this is my piece of property on the planet Earth.
So if you step on this land, it's either you've been invited by me or you're trespassing.
And you can get shot.
You can get caught now.
Yeah. So we're just going to discuss the topic around that, you know, ownership of property, saying this piece of property is mine and mine alone. I personally think that's quite a good thing to have, you know, to be able to say, on this planet Earth, Malcolm Greeley's spot is right here, and nobody else can have it, nobody else can touch it. This is what I've worked for on this planet. This is my piece of grass. But now it becomes a problem when the majority of people don't have their own piece of grass, right? And we're trying to figure out the best way to get everybody to have a piece of grass. So ultimately, the talk today is capitalism versus communism, if you want to simple it down or water it down to its essence. But we're going to talk about all the elements around that, the idea of land. My boy, do you want a lot of property in your life?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want land? Plus, at the same time, you need property, you need land. We've spoken about proof of residence before.
Yeah.
You can't do fuck all without proof of residence, you know what I'm saying? You can't even get a cellular device without proof of residence.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously, for purposes of, you know, starting accounts and so on and so forth, I'm definitely keen to get some land. But not only just that, you know, rent income. My father's actually trying to get me on board with that and investing in property for rent income purposes rather than just to go blom in that house, you know?
Yeah.
And that's important at a young age as well. I think the youth need to realize that instead of, you know, going to Brum and being a screw screw boy, rather save that money, go buy yourself some land, gee?
Yeah. Okay, so this is the thing for me, is not personal ownership of land, but owning land as a means of gaining capital.
Yeah.
Property is obviously a huge market in which lots of people make money from it. But I do think to some extent, if we want true equality, we have to limit how much freedom people have to build their own land and to create. And just generally speaking, outside of property itself, I think true equality means limiting what people can have. Because if you are sovereign and free as an individual, you can go to the largest extent. You can work. Let's say you just work super hard. You never sleep. You sleep one day a year.
And
hypothetically, yeah. You sleep one day a year and you work so hard that you get so rich that you can own 70% of the lands on the in the world's land. I think that starts to become problematic, you know, when people own too much while others have too little.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring it to the middle, and we're trying to figure out if there is a worthwhile system that will allow us to do that, because obviously communism has failed in the past before. Capitalism seems to be working if you look at it at face value, but if you go deeper, it's not working at all, because it's only the few people at the top who are reaping the benefits of capitalism using the lower class.
It's all of these isms, man. What's just the isms? Let's isms, just live, dog.
The isms are causing bullshit in our lives. Yeah. So, yeah, okay, so we're now trying to go to a place where we avoid isms. And we just live and we share the land, all right? And the way I like to compare the world we live in now in, and try compare it to the world we want is thinking about the idea of Ubuntu. Okay, so the idea of Ubuntu is problematic in the sense that there's a lot of different ways to look at it, because a lot of people would say we shouldn't have Ubuntu because Ubuntu means people take advantage of you, because you're always willing to forgive, you're always willing to give if you have. So that itself is a problem. But if we look at the essence of it in terms of sharing whatever we have, Ubuntu ngumuntu ngabantu, whatever we are, I am. Whatever you are, I am. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're trying to get to, you know. Would the whole world be able to function in the same way African cultures function, or used to function, rather, in terms of, okay, this is the space that we occupy as the Zulu people, for example. And in this space, we all live. We all have our own space within this land, right? Right, so
I would agree.
Yeah. Now we're taking it to the point where we're trying to implement this culture in the Western world. Would that be possible? You know, to completely do away with ownership of land and us sharing it.
Yeah,
sharing.
Sort of like going back to go forward.
Yeah. Which is what I think we need a lot of. The problem is now that we encounter that who runs it. Who rules it? Because ultimately there has to be a system in place, because we can't control everything from our own homes. So who runs the system? Who do we choose to equally and fairly distribute property or land? And I think the answer here comes with the technology age. I know you know, but I don't know if the listeners know that I'm a futurist. I see technology being the government. Essentially,
you if know. We're not careful, they're gonna be like the same sort of assholes that the government is on another level, though.
Yeah, because they could grow exponentially in terms of their intellect. But we're trying to stop that. I trust Elon Musk is gonna come through with something dope. Hey. Apparently, we have to turn into cyborgs. Like, we'll have a chip implanted in our brains that'll help us keep up with the developments that technology.
Can I be dead honest with you? Just as a side note, like, when I see Elon Musk, sometimes like. I see that guy's grin. It's like he's got something planned. Like
something sinister.
Yeah, and he's just not telling us. He's like, no, Oaks, follow. But he's got a hidden agenda. I don't know. There's just this certain vibe I'm not catching. But we'll never know. We'll see in 2030.
Do you know what I think it is? I think it's that vibe of him probably knowing more than you. Like, I know that Elon Musk knows more than me, and that scares me. Because that means he has more power. Knowledge is power, obviously.
It's for me, it's not even about that. I feel as if he could be programming all of the, you know, artificial intelligence to work with him against the masses in the future. Like, he could be a Trump in the future. I ain't saying it's trying to be. I'm not saying it's trying to be, but I'm just saying, you know, things could happen.
Yeah.
When power lands in the wrong hands, you know, things go
crazy. We'll talk about Trump. Trump is going crazy right now. He had some things to say at the UN, but we'll talk about that in the news section. But now I want to get to this idea of limiting how much one can own. Do you think that's a viable option for us as humanity, in saying that okay, you can only own maximum two properties. In fact, maybe even just one, because you're one individual.
I don't think that's going to pass.
Because that's the kind of idea that Julius Malema and the socialist movement is thinking about in terms of the land redistribution. The people who own multiple properties, 4, 5, 6 properties, would have to let go of 2 or 3 for the purpose of others having property and land. So that's the idea behind this, the people like EFF when it comes to land redistribution. And personally, it is an option, if I'm honest. If it is, I don't think owning 6 properties is necessary. But then also we get to the infringing on people's rights to do what they want to do.
Yeah, live as they choose.
Yeah. And this is where the capitalism versus communism idea comes in, because what is more important, the individual sovereignty or the well-being of the people? Right now it's the individual sovereignty. And because it's the individual sovereignty, only individuals are benefiting and a small group of individuals.
But how do you feel when it comes to that whole debate? The individual over
the people.
Yeah.
That's my life's debate.
Because to be real, I'm sure you're caught in a catch-22 where you've experienced both sides of this debate. Like you've experienced like having to share land, and you also know
what
the future is going to be for you and how much you can attain
to have my
as
own.
An individual.
Yes.
So now you get caught in the situation when you're like, you know, I can be the most, you know, giving humanitarian out there, or I could be a savage.
Yeah. You see, this is the thing, because it's a similar idea with money. You know, I don't think we need money as a society. I don't think it's necessary. But while we're living in the society that uses money, I'm going to try and get as much of it as possible.
Yeah, precisely.
So it's a similar story when it comes to property. I don't believe that we should all, or I don't believe that people should own more than what they need in order to survive and to live well. Not only to survive and to live well, but also at the same time, I want to have a house in many different countries. When I go to America, I have my own posse. I go to Cape Town, I have my own posse, you know?
Maybe then it can get divided up in like rules and regulations could stipulate, okay, you can only have one house in one province.
Yeah.
And you can have another one here or in one country. Something like that.
Yeah. And
just to find some middle ground.
Yeah. And when you go other places, you stay in Airbnbs. It doesn't necessarily have to be your property that you own. But the people who own property for others to stay and run it as a business, you know, and it's not about your own personal
gain.
But that's a complicated, this topic is really complicated. So if you wanna comment, please do hit us up on the Twitter streets at @_worstguys. You can also talk to us on Cliff Central at cliffcentral.com. And our WhatsApp line is 0797482090 if you're listening live. Because this is a really difficult one. But let's go to the matter at heart for us, especially as black people who don't have land. How do we get land? How do we start to own property? And more importantly, where is this property that we're owning?
For me personally, I think we need to start where we are.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Elaborate.
When I say that, take for example what my father's actually doing at this current moment in time. So, because I was born in Bloemfontein, Rocklands, mm-hmm. right? But now, maybe about a block away from my grandmother's house where I grew up, my father bought a 4-room there, and he smashed that down, the place next to it as well. Now he's just building like a block of flats,
mm-hmm.
right? And renting that out for rent income purposes. So he didn't go to Sandton. He didn't go to Bryanston, try to find a house worth like 3 or 5 million and sell that on the market again and try to get that money back. He didn't go to no auction to try and get another. He went where he's actually from. the places that he knows.
Mm.
So, and that goes for everything. Start with what you know. Start where you are. Instead of looking, some of the things to the answers to the questions that you're looking for are right under your nose. You're looking far and wide when everything is right there.
It starts at home.
Exactly.
Yeah, I completely get that. But where I have to interject is when it comes to the value of the location of the property.
Yeah.
There's a lot of value based in where you are because of what is around you.
True, but then if we don't, you know, proactively work on building it, then it'll forever remain the same. My dad doing that, all right, yes, it'll decrease the value of the one that he has, right, which looks a lot more luxurious than the four room next to it, but it'll increase the value of the four room that's next to his one. Do you get what I'm saying?
Okay, so what you're saying is we need to increase the value of the place we're already at instead of seeking to be part of the place with value already.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a noble act because that takes a lot of time. That takes a lot of growth. For example,
nothing happens overnight, though.
Yeah, keep that in mind. For sure.
Keep that in mind. And remember, going back to that point of, you know, looking out for the people or looking out for the individual. Sometimes, even though you're looking out for the individual, which is in most cases what people are doing, they are looking out for the people in the sense that that property, all of those properties are going to be left for the generations to come after. Essentially, you don't take your house with you to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, there's a more lit one up in there.
yeah, but
you don't take it with you to heaven. So who does it get left for? The generations that come after you and the generations that can come after them.
Okay.
And they can actively work again to uplift their community.
Okay, so we shouldn't be striving to conquer these high walls.
No,
that block
us out.
Don't get
it twisted. Don't get it twisted, though. We need to. That's a need.
Yeah, because that's my big philosophical debate. You know, my push when I speak of land, I'm saying we need to invade white spaces, predominantly white spaces where they have the better portion of South African land. Let's say
okay,
and we want to be a part of the best parts of our land. You know, it's not that, okay, now we're going to take this shitty thing that you left us and try polish it into a turd. You know, you can't polish a turd, they say. I want us to be a part of the beauty of what we have, which we have been locked out of by these high walls. Do you know? So my agenda is that we strive to force ourselves in those places. We strive to force ourselves into the real estate game. You know, it's difficult for black people to get property because real estate is a racist game. You know, so I'm saying we want those houses.
Yeah.
How do we get those houses? You know, now we have to find a way to take the land back without stealing it or without fighting, you know. And I honestly don't know how to do that unless we all come to a consensus that, okay, now we're going to start living equally. All right. Now we're going to try and redistribute our wealth equally. So this is the properties that we have. This is how many people that we have, and each person is going to or is able to afford themselves this amount of space. You know, 20 by 20 meters, whatever it might be. That sounds a bit small. But we want people to be able to equally live. You know, when you look at your neighbor, you shouldn't have to compete because what you have is the same. Do you understand? So the thing that's motivated with me is that I saw an interesting video from Tech Insider where they are pop-up hotels, right? So essentially it's just, you know, like a shipping tank?
Yeah,
a shipping tank. excuse me. That is put on the property and they push a button, must be a really big button, but it converts into a hotel room. This thing literally unpacks like a convertible would.
With all the hydraulics.
With hydraulics, with all these systems, and it turns into four rooms, and it turns into a kitchen, it turns into a bathroom. It has everything in this little tank. It makes a hotel. You know, so we have the ability to do that for everybody. If we wanted to, as people say, okay, everybody, this is the standard house that you get. Boom, Here you are on Earth. Family of four, here's your house. Oh, you're another family, here's your house. Here's your house, here's your house. And we all have the same house, and each individual has his room. Do you know what I mean? So it's a very, it's a limiting idea. And that's what I struggle with. I struggle with limiting freedom and what you can do.
Yeah.
But if we want equality, like I said in the beginning of the episode, it needs to be limited. Because then one can always do way more and therefore get way more. So this is an idea that is actually going to come to fruition in the future, I think, in terms of equally distributing land. I really don't think it can happen now. And if it did happen, it would be that complete mental shift. You know, that mental attitude we're talking about, the way we used to think about the world, individual versus community. We'd have to shift back to community thinking. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Because when you're looking at the National Geographic channel, when they're busy commentating on like how the indigenous people used to live, and yeah, if you look in this hut, this is where their chief lives, and right next door, hey man, all of those huts look the same to me.
Yeah,
it's just that the chief lives in this one.
Yeah, yeah, all of those huts look the same. Yeah, so we want all the cribs to look the same as well.
You know, but everybody knows, hey man, that's the chief. So when somebody's making a fire, he's telling the stories, he's doing the business, he's saying, okay, we're eating today. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so just to touch on this in terms of the property, we have to think about the leadership aspect, right? Because I was saying technology would have to rule the game. But right now, if we were to move forward as a people, what would our first step be? You know, because I don't trust the government for shit to do anything like this. Because we'd obviously have to put in bills and a mandate that would enforce these new laws.
Mm, you see, the whole having to enforce it is where people are going to rebel. Mm. And when you have people that are going to rebel, then the system fails.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then it's complete anarchy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wherever there's not a joint decision to do a specific thing, and you have people saying, yeah, no, I'm not so sure about it, hey?
Yeah.
Then it's over. Don't even think about trying to implement it without having to face resistance from other people.
Okay, so just to get to some sort of conclusion, you know, just to get to some point that we're getting at. I don't think owning property is selfish, but I do think we could be more selfless. We could give away more. We could build for the people as opposed to an individual, because like we said, we're looking for individual gain at the moment. That's the way our world thinks. But now we need to start focusing on how do we get everybody on our page. Do you know?
Can I just make a quick point before you try and sum it up as well? Is just that it's not necessarily only the individual but the corporations, because the banks play a huge role in this. The banks finance you for your home loan.
Yeah.
And there's, if you go and search repoed houses on all of these banks, like whether you go check Standard Bank or APSA or FNB, you'll find that person made, you know, requested for a loan or a bond on a house, all right, with 5 million, and maybe he was short of 1.5 million, right? Pay off. Some shit happened in his life. The bank says, yeah, no, look, hey, but if you're not paying me back, I'm taking the house. And they claim the house. But you had 1.5 million left. And they put that back up on the market, well, as one of the repo, and they auction it off, starting price at 1.5 million. Because they don't put a markup. They just put exactly what, you know, the bank was due for that property. So essentially, the next person is only getting it for 1.5.
Yeah, he's getting it at a
portion
of the
actual cost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's still going to increase as time goes by.
Yeah, this.
So it's a thing of, you know, corporations actually having to have a heart.
Have a heart. Yeah, somebody needs to care. That's what I think we try to get to, because I mean, like, it's so much more difficult to get loans, if especially if you're unemployed and you don't have a track record of a salary, and you know, those kind of things make it difficult to own property.
And that's how the capitalist gets ahead. The guy who's been paying up, he's doing nice.
He's been owning land.
He just goes and he checks, oh, who else is getting got out here? Oh, you can't afford your house anymore. Listen, I'm going to buy it from you and I'll rent it out to you at a price that you can afford.
Yeah, you see, that's the rich dad, poor dad mentality.
You know?
This is how people get rich. And what I fear is that I do that to somebody else because I want to get rich.
Exactly.
You know, but if we don't need to be rich, then we cut out all the bullshit, you know. And that's where I think communism comes in. And not necessarily a communism of work, but a communism of living. It's not necessarily saying everybody gets paid the same no matter what job they do, but we are communist in the sense that we share our land equally. We share whatever we have on earth, we share together as a people.
But I think maybe it might, in a way that I would say it could start out by, is trying to house people. If you know of a place, for example, I was reading the book, one of these books by Paulo Coelho, and I think it's in France. If a hobo finds a place that's not, you know,
occupied.
They're allowed to stay there in the night.
Yeah, I've heard something about that.
You know, they're allowed to stay there in the night, and the police won't chase them away.
Yeah.
Why don't we start something like that in specific places? Because we know South Africans are savages.
Hillbrow. See? That they've taken over Hillbrow, the city slickers. No, but I completely get it, man. This is a really tough one. This is a really tough one. But we have to think about these things if we want to reach a better future, right? So, yeah, man, let us know what you think on a WhatsApp, on a Twitter streets. We out here.
I'm actually keen to hear from them.
Oh, yeah. Rumi here by Anderson Park.
He's just trying to preach of how much space there is in this.
Ain't that much. Ain't that much. But yeah, anyway, yeah, we'll be talking about property and whether or not owning property is selfish. Beyond your necessary needs. Not just living in a house, but owning multiple properties, profiting off those properties, especially if you don't live in those properties on a permanent basis. Holiday houses and the likes. How do we restore the balance? Because I mean, that really is the hottest topic of our nation at the moment, is land redistribution. And I think it's a difficult one to tackle, because you can't give people land without taking it away from somebody, and nobody likes anything being taken away from them. It's similar to the debacle that Dumi Morak is in. Unfortunately, she spoke about, you know, when you're a white person, it's like the child in kindergarten or when we're younger who had a bicycle, and now we have to, you know, share the bicycle because the other kids don't have any. But the bully, the white bully, he's not going to be too happy about that, you know. And even when you share the bicycle, it's not enough for the people who are now having it, the five other kids on the playground. Anyway, she got in a whole lot of trouble for that, which is crazy because, I mean,
mainstream... Should we not talk about it?
On Jacaranda, yeah, well, let's talk about it a little bit. Mainstream media gets, you know, sparked by such simple things, trivial things. She was just being honest, and she literally got in trouble. Dumi Morak used to have a show here on Cliff Central. She said way worse things. Somebody must just download her latest podcast. She will have said something way more offensive, not even offensive, but way more radical than she ever did on that Jacaranda show. So strength to her, power to her. We know the plebs of the world, they'll never understand, man. That's the problem. But yeah, anyway, let's go into some stories that have caught our attention over the last week. You know what it is, South Africa is always a little way short.
Me and Ass Wayboy in trouble again. Wayboy Penny at it again. Read about it. Extra, please grab young Fallon. Extra, extra. Read all about it. Life story of Wayboy Penny. Extra, extra.
Okay. Today we're gonna start in Mexico City. There's been a crazy earthquake there that has left up to 221 people dead. Man, there's so many natural disasters happening right now that we've just gotta believe that we're doing something wrong. You know, as the people on Earth. I mean, people are still fighting climate change. People, I'm not saying this earthquake was a result of climate change, but just in terms of all the hurricanes that have been hitting America and so on. There's something definitely going on. We're upsetting Mother Earth. You know, we're such assholes, actually.
The and world is just saying, it's clapping back at us for yeah. the shit that we've been doing.
And the thing is with us as people is that we only listen to Mother Earth when she's screaming. People don't want to just sit down and listen to the beauty that is Earth and life. They just want to hear when things go wrong. Oh, now we need to do something. Hey, we've been needing to do something, people.
You know, we all form part of this huge universe, right? Mm-hmm. And Mother Nature, what if Mother Nature is the actual being? And we're just like particles and organisms in our body, you know what I'm saying? And Mother Nature sees all of the drama that's going on there, you know, in South America, there by, not South America, south of the United States, in Texas. Yeah. And it's just like, you know what? I don't like this. I'm going to drink castor oil and I'm going to make it rain
in Texas. She saw all the racist shit they were doing. It's like, I'm going to get you back.
Exactly. Hijacked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So condolences to all those people in Mexico City, man. I hope the relief efforts are working out. But you know, once your life is gone, it's gone. Condolences to those people.
Even relief efforts, it rounds back to land. That pastor that didn't want to open up his church.
Yeah, he owned the land.
Hey man,
it's a real thing. We need to get it back, but getting it back is really difficult. That's why this podcast is really difficult to find an answer for, because we can't do it without violence, but we also have to do it. You know, and forcing things usually takes violence. But yeah, let's think about it. That's what we do as philosophers.
Hey, but God said, ask and thou shalt receive. You know what I'm saying?
So we must just go and say, hey, kupa land. All right, cool. Maybe it would work.
Ask in faith.
Yeah, ask in faith. All right, the next story is Trump, man. Donald Trump, we all know this guy is a bit of a loose cannon, right? But he was at the UN assembly this week, and he said some crazy shit, man, because he's beefing with North Korea right now. And yeah, he's basically saying that he's ready to nuke North America. He's ready to fight them at all costs, which is pretty problematic, because we really could end up in World War III. Are you worried about World War III?
Hey, I don't think South Africa needs to worry at all. To be dead honest with you, I don't pay any mind to all of this nonsense, because I feel like if I do, I'm drawing it closer and closer towards me and affecting my life. Uh-huh. So if I pay no attention to it, hey man, we cool, we easy like Sunday morning.
Hey man, but paying no attention to it doesn't mean it's not happening, you know.
No, I understand. Like you said as well, if it happens in my face, then it's a different story. But if it's happening, if I'm going to have to take a flight and actually witness this shit happening, then, hey, man, listen, we can all just chill out.
I'm just worried that the nukes have come to a point where they're so powerful that once it drops, we all fucked. You know, maybe we won't have to even fight in a war. We'll just vanish.
Well, if the nukes have gotten to this strength, then surely they have, you know, these X-Men, they're for real, you know, they're for real, the DC Comics and all of them. Somebody out there must be the Hulk if they get angry too much, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's people who have actually been experimented on, and they are ready for when the world gets to that place where, okay, no, please, call the Avengers, please.
We need it to take over.
Yeah, no, I seriously believe that people are superpowers. I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah, anything's possible. Okay, so what he said on Tuesday is, he said, he was very aggressive in his speech. He says things like, we are totally going to destroy North Korea, you know? Yeah, it's like if it threatened the United States and denounced nuclear agreement with Iran, an embarrassment that he may abandon.
Ooh. Was this on Twitter?
No, this was in the National Assembly. This is the real thing now. So he's saying this to people in their faces, like presidents of every country. He's being serious now. Now this is not even a young tweet that you can go delete. He's being real that nah, dog. America first. Yeah, that's what he says. As president of the United States, I will always put America first. Just like you, as the leaders of your country, will always and should always put your country first, he said. And that generated some light applause. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Why do we have a UN? Can somebody please tell me?
Yeah. And this can go in line with our topic in terms of, you know, when you put yours first all the time, eventually anything else is an outsider and becomes an enemy.
Too much of one thing is a bad thing.
Yeah, so now he's making enemies out here. And I don't know, but some of these leaders have fragile egos, and you just diss this guy's mama, and now all of a sudden, get World War III. So yeah, man, it's really worrying. But I guess there's nothing really we can do until the world ends or Trump gets assassinated. It's one of the two. But I think he's a loose cannon that we should be watching out for. But that's that story on that. There's also another story more locally about the Data Must Fall campaign.
We're still going strong.
Yeah, we're still going strong. There was protests outside MTA and outside South Sea. People are pushing because obviously data is still ridiculously expensive, and I personally feel very strongly about this movement. I just don't know how much the people at the top care. You see, here's the hard part about life, right? Us being here as the plebs who don't have any power, who don't control anything. We might have the ideas, but we have no means of implementing. Like, the way Trump thinks to me is just, you know, it's bizarre. Like, it's childish. Yeah, it's childish. Like, how is it that he can be in such a position of power? You know, how did we get to that point? But that also just dives into my whole distrust of governments and politicians and how stupid it is to vote for these people.
If we actually had somebody in power who was thinking the same way that the majority, the collective beings were thinking in the country, then it's no more politics, it's leadership.
Exactly. And I think one of the most underrated group or category of leaders are celebrities, celebrated people, people who make music, people who make art, because people love those people and genuinely love them.
Yeah.
They don't go listen to them because, oh, I'm worried about the state of my nation.
Guys, Michael Jackson has been to I Love You.
I Love You.
Yeah. Heal the world. Make it a better place. Trump ain't listening to that.
Dog, you see, but our people are. So I think we also need to focus on who our leaders are in society. Genuinely, who do we listen to? Who influences society the most? Not who writes the most bills or who passes the most laws. Who influences change in society and the way we think? And that tends to be people in the arts, people outside of formal structures of what leadership is meant to be.
Be water, my friend.
Be water, yeah. But anyway, Data Must Fall. I really hope this campaign continues and it flourishes, because, hey man, I'm starting to like Instagram. So this thing of buying a gigabyte of data a week is not ideal, man. Especially at $100 a gig. MTN for tech. But yeah, anyway, lastly, in the news, just because he's our boy, this man, Donald Glover, he won an Emmy. He was the first director to win an Emmy for a show, for directing. That's obviously for his show, Atlanta. Yeah, man, I just love Donald Glover. He's such a multi-talented guy. He's the epitome of somebody who's a jack of all trades and a master of all. He can act, he can sing. He can direct, he can write. I mean, what a talent, what a talent. And a lot of black people flourished at the Emmys. Nolina Waithe won an Emmy for the writing of the episode that she did of What's the show? Aziz Ansari's show. Master of None. She won an Emmy for the episode that they wrote about her life, her coming out as a lesbian.
Hey.
Yeah, it was quite a great episode. So yeah, black people are flourishing in Hollywood, which is good. We really are on the come up, because I'm of the idea and the belief that Africans and black people in general are coming for everything, and we're starting to see it. Issa Rae said a beautiful thing on Twitter. Well, I saw it on Twitter. She was being interviewed about who she's supporting at the Emmys.
Ah, you saw it.
And she's like, anyone black? I'm supporting everyone who's black.
No, I'm serious.
Which is what we should be doing, because I don't think anybody's better than us at the arts. In all honesty, so we should use that to propel ourselves to, you know, the next level. So shout out to all the people who won Emmys. But yeah, we're really proud of our boy Donald Glover, because he's just like us. He's one of the worst guys. I don't know, not many people know, but our song in the beginning of the show is actually by Donald Glover and Chance the Rapper. So yeah, man, that's all the news stories for this week. We're just about to go in to give you some advice, because you know, got questions to ask every now and again. And we've got advice to give, but we don't know though.
Nah.
We don't know though. It's
the worst advice. Rehab, how's it, but Jana, you still lifting? I see on your Instagram, man. Fucking power, boy, fucking power. Listen, gents, no, man, I just got a question for you guys, y'all. Listen, but Rehab, how much do you bench, my...
How
much do you bench, my boy?
First and foremost, I think that's really irrelevant in life, my man. I mean, like, see a lot of guys out here in the gym and they're busy ego lifting and trying to move too much weight and stuff like that. You see, you're doing the exact same thing that these capitalistic niggas are doing out here, trying to get all the land. Nah, dog, put back the weights. There's other people in the gym. You know, it's all about your form.
Focus,
you know,
on the form.
The contraction, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then activating that muscle, that mind-muscle connection. But if you really want to know how much I bench, man, I mean, with a chest as big as mine, I could probably bench your mom, though.
We could bench your mom, though. We could bench your mom, but... I don't know though. All right, cool, man. It's been so dope chatting with y'all. This is a really difficult topic to tackle, man. We are, especially as black people, 400, 500 years behind. So this catch up is going to be insane. But we have to start thinking about how we're going to do it, right? I hope you enjoyed listening to the show. You know that we're here every Wednesday at 2 p.m. And yeah, we're gonna wrap up with the worst guy, Cypher, as we always do. Just trying to see a dope instrumental. What do you want to do today? Just a classic freestyle, or should we come in with something different, something wavy?
I'm feeling something different, wavy.
Yo, but we've been coming, giving these people songs, even my boy, big songs. Okay, let's do something. Let's do something less, yeah. I'm just going to choose a slow instrumental, actually. Do you want to do that? Do you want to try that?
Go for it.
Slow instrumental, my boy.
Hey, I could be amazing.
Okay, let's do this. Let's see how this goes. Oh!
Baba, black sheep, have you any land? Yes sir, I got land.
Yeah.
I say, Baba, black sheep, have you any land? Yes sir, I've got land.
Trying to break away from this prison that is my land.
because I don't have any. So I'm trying to understand how to move forward and how to become a kingpin. I need to be owning property in the whole world within. So I'm here with my voice and I don't even have to sing. I can just speak to you clearly and you'll hear what my brain thinks and you'll hear what I sing in my soul and in my heart. I don't want to go back to the beginning, not from the start. I want to own everything. I want to be a proprietor. But it's so hard because people are liars. They tell me that I can have what I want, but it's not true. Because when I walk around at Four Ways, I see what these white people do. They own all these houses and they have all these pools. And when I try blast my music, they say it's not cool. So give me some time when I tell you this is true. We're gonna fight for the land, but I don't want violence, bro.
Hey. Baba, black sheep, have you any land? Yes, sir, I got land. Baba, black sheep, have you any land? Yes, sir, I got land. I guess it's time for me to proceed and speak to thee about having property or a lack of property. You see, it's not easy to gain this. Hey, look from a different perspective. Hey, you gotta correct it. People are sleeping on the street with nothing to eat, no clothes on their back, they freezing, G. But you got a holiday home, and no one even there is alone. That's just a house, no home, no soul. What you gonna do? Stay there? Oh no, let another brew come through with his family, maybe two. Turn it into a commune. Hey, maybe the whole world should just look back to go forward. Cause every time we say we're going forward, we just keep falling forward. But I'd rather be falling forward than falling backwards. Acting like these cowards that just keep on telling us we can't have it. No, we can't have it. No, we can't have it. No. Baba, black sheep, have you any land? Yes, sir, I've got land.
It's the worst, guys. We out. Such a pleasure and such a treat. Wake up. We out.
This is CliffCentral.com.